one.
From the Director, Department of Transportation and the Managing Director, Milwaukee County Transit System, requesting authorization to proceed based on the fair tariff framework with all planning, design, and system development work necessary by the contractor to meet the functionality requirements for the automated fare collection system that will be used in conjunction with the contactless smart cards.
Mr. Grant.
Good morning.
And
Mr. Bain.
Bain.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Lloyd Grant, Managing Director for the Transit System, and joining me to my left is Daniel Bain. Mr. Bain is our Chief Administrative Officer. The report before you describes the various types of fare forms that will be available with the new automated fare collection system. At this time, we are in the design phase with our contractor to proceed with development of the software necessary to operate in conjunction with the fare box, and we're seeking authorization to proceed with that. The software will essentially allow the fare box to understand what our fare structure is and to accept the various fare forms under the MCTS fare structure. The system is essentially a smart card system. We are, for the most part, continuing with the existing fare structure that we have. So cash will be accepted at the fare box, but customers will also be able to add cash onto their smart cards, where the fare box would automatically deduct the fare from the smart card. There will also be single-trip rides, which is equivalent to using a ticket today. In addition, the system will have the capability of offering customers an all-day pass, a 7-day pass, which replaces our current weekly pass, and a 31-day pass, which replaces our current monthly pass. The system is designed where it will not be using the paper transfers or paper tickets, so those fare forms will not be continued at that time. Obviously, our goal at this point is to discontinue the use of paper transfers as soon as possible, and hopefully we'll be able to do that long before the automated fare collection system is in place. If it continues to be in place, at the time that the fare collection system comes on board, then I would anticipate that during the period of time that it will be necessary to outfit the entire fleet with the new fare boxes, we would need to continue with the paper transfers. But again, our goal is to eliminate those as soon as possible and long before the new fare collection system is in place. With that, Mr. Chairman, if there are any questions, I can address.
Mr. Grant, also, you need to realize we've been telling you about this paper transfer. If we decided, we have decided we're going with the slings, but when the system goes on in effect in January, when the system goes in effect, there's no more paper transfer, so you need to stop saying paper transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, Mr. Grant, I met with the individuals who are designing this,
yes,
and you have helped me to help so the committee know that they will be here at our next meeting, November 5th, and also they will be meeting with the union the day prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone will be on board, understanding exactly what's going on, because the last couple of meetings we have been very contentious about this paper transfer, mm-hmm, and day pass. So I would like to make sure to make that announcement to our committee members and also to the audience and also to the union. We are very serious. This committee has set down the gauntlet, and I have to follow what the committee, the majority of this committee wanted, and that's what I'm trying to work for. Also, any questions from the committee first? Supervisor Gerson.
I have heard rumors, and I'll admit the rumors, and I haven't confirmed anything, but the rumors are that with the stimulus money recently, that these the manufacturers of these farebox and maybe it's even the producers of the electronic equipment, etc., are so backed up that that's what's taking a long time. Is there any truth in that rumor?
I'm not aware of that, Supervisor. This is the first I'm actually hearing of it.
So we haven't been informed by our sure, by our contractor that it's going to take some time for Milwaukee to get the work done because there are so many other systems trying to do the same thing right now.
That is correct, Supervisor. And I would add that The schedule that we're currently on is the same schedule that was submitted as part of the RFP process, and there's been no change to that schedule. Am I correct?
Minor tweaks, but the overall timeline hasn't changed. A couple things have been pushed back a little bit, but the final date is still the final date.
Okay.
And it, you talk about getting the tickets coordinated with our fare system. It would be my understanding that if this board chooses to change fares, that these cards would be easily readjusted with the new fare system. Is that fair?
If you could repeat your question, Supervisor, I'm not sure if I understand.
I just want to make sure it's flexible, because we're not going to have everything stay the same.
That's correct. The system is certainly designed with a great deal of flexibility, where we will, once the system is designed, we will have the ability to control the fare structure. For example, if some point in time, if the policy is to reduce fares or increase fares, we have the flexibility to make those adjustments on our own without having to go back to the vendor to do so. So a great deal of flexibility will come with the system.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas, Supervisor Lisco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am curious to know, there have been a couple of references to the timeline. I've seen some minor fluctuations within the timeline, and I wonder if you could tell us today what is the timeline, please.
The current goal with respect to installation of the fare boxes and the overall system is late fall of 2013. I would anticipate that the system should be in place by the end of the year 2013. As the chairman mentioned, we've asked the contractor, Scheidt and Bachmann, to make themselves available to come in and give this committee a complete overview of the timeline and the project, so to give you as much background and information about what they're doing and what has to transpire between now and that time. And the goal is to have that take place at your next committee meeting.
Okay, so Scheidt and Bachmann would... You're saying it would be then at our next committee meeting?
Yes, they have indicated to me that that's what their intent is, and I'll be working with them to make sure that happens.
Okay, very good. Hmm. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Before we go any further, I want to make sure that my esteemed colleague, Supervisor Bukowski, pointed out to me, our next meeting is December 5th, not November 5th.
Yes.
So we'll make sure that everyone knows they will be here December 5th. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Make sure they know it's esteemed.
We are recording right now. Since we're recording, I'll be very nice to you. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things I'm not sure if I understand how they'll work. Just because it doesn't talk about, sort of talks about it as though there's one cash fare, premium fare or discounted fare. How is that treated? So how is that loaded on the card, and then how does that work in practice? Because I guess I'm not understanding how, really every user is going to have their own card. So if you're a family or whatever, you're going to have one for every rider is going to have their own card. You're not just going to have a bunch of money loaded on a single card, right? So if you could help me understand how this
yeah.
works.
I think that's a great question, Supervisor. I'm going to ask Mr. Bain to speak to that. However, I will point out that all the existing fare forms that we currently have will continue to be a part of the system. So, for example, although I mentioned here that there will be a cash fare, whether you pay that at the fare box or you add cash onto your smart card, that will include the adult cash fare, the half fare, and the premium fares. And although we don't go into that level of detail here, I'll ask Mr. Vain to add to that.
So a couple of comments on half fare. Right now, I could go into a retail outlet that sells fare media and buy half fare tickets. If I try to use that on the bus operator is going to ask me to show an ID to show that I'm eligible for half fare. So there would be a contactless smart card that would be recognized as a half fare smart card if I put $10 on it and went to use it on the fare box. Under the current fare structure, $1.10 would be deducted, and the fare box would prompt me as the user and the bus operator to me show an ID and bus operator to validate the ID. So the system is similar. If I go to that same retail outlet and say, I'm an adult, full fare paying person, I would get a different smart card that would be primed to deduct the $1.75, same as an adult ticket. If I had that card with $20 on it and got on a freeway flyer bus, the fare box would recognize the route number as a freeway flyer, and it would be primed to charge a higher fare that's currently $3.25 in cash or $2.35 with a premium ticket. So there is a lot of technology built into the new system that mirrors what we're doing currently. And that's part of what takes so long in developing the system, is making sure that every one of those use cases will be handled correctly by the system. We don't want to have a fare box out on the street, basically a computer making mistakes. So there's a series of tests that will have to be done. Every imaginable use case, run through those tests to make sure everything functions as possible.
But when we say that all the existing fare, I forget what the term was, the fare rates form. Or fare forms are still available, so if I'm putting money on the card, am I putting $20 on and getting $20 to use as and getting charged at the cash rate, or am I putting $20 or whatever the amount is, for the 10 tickets, whatever that discounted rate is, am I putting it on and getting 10 full fares? Do you know what I'm saying? How do you get that discount otherwise?
We're working on the premise of it's a prepaid fare, so the reduced fare would apply. The $1.75 of a ticket. As the new system is introduced, we want the passengers and the community to understand that it's the same value that they're used to getting on tickets.
Right.
And just to touch on your earlier question, it was a very good question. If I were to be traveling with my family and had $20 on the card, I don't need to have a card for each family member.
Okay.
The system will be sophisticated enough where I can say I need to pay for 3 adults and a child, and the fare box will deduct the appropriate amounts for the adult and the child and encode 4 transfers on that card. So if we need to use a second bus to reach our destination. So it will be possible for one card to manage the trip of a family.
And who would then select that? Will the person interact with the driver to say I need three child fares and one adult, or they're going to?
It's quite a sophisticated system. There would be interaction with the driver, just like there would be today. As a family boarding a bus, you're feeding a number of bills in the fare box,
mm-hmm.
Or you're feeding a number of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
There would be some interaction with the bus operator saying, we want the 4 of us to be charged to this card, and my daughter is at a reduced rate.
And then what are the costs of the smart cards? I guess this was the first time that I saw the reference to the chip. I thought we were talking about a magnetized, paper or something really cheap, but what I've used in other jurisdictions. But now we're talking about more of like a RFID or some kind of there's a chip on this thing?
There's a chip on the card, Supervisor. The card really, I think the best way to describe it is it will be used very similar to a debit card that many people carry today. In answer to your question, I think you asked about the cost.
Mm-hmm.
What is the range?
About $1.10. No, we're not sure about the volume, so I think accurately say between $1 and $1.50. But it's a reloadable card, and it's a permanent card, and we want to encourage people to register it and hang on to it. We don't want to see these cards laying in transfer corners because they're being passed from one individual to the other if there's time left on your daily pass. We don't want to see what you see at elevated train stations that use the less expensive flexible cards. Having a rechargeable card is going to be more cost-effective in the long run because we have a very popular weekly pass scenario. So those flexible cards might be 10 or 15 cents, but if you're buying 50 of those a year for one individual, the transit system is somehow burying that cost into the fare. So the $1.10 is much more economical as those cards can be used for several years.
And is the actual value stored only on the card, or I mean, if my card becomes whatever, it went through the dryer and I don't know, it melts or something, am I still able to retrieve that value? Is there an account that is separate and apart from that card that where I can have that value reloaded on another card from it? Yeah, or is it lost?
Yes, that is correct, Supervisor. Individuals will be able to add value, which is also referred to as reloading value, on the card, either at the Reddick Fair outlets or via the Internet. And we will have a web portal where individuals can register themselves, register their cards, and then purchase fare media, which will be automatically added to their card electronically.
And lost and stolen cards can be reported as such, provided they're registered. There's some incentive to register it. We can actually turn a card off in the system, take the balance, put it on a new card, and issue that to the person that reported their card lost or stolen. And then if that card was stolen, it will be rejected by the system from that day forward because it'll be registered in the system as an invalid card, which will eventually be written directly onto the card electronically.
Okay. And then in terms of our previous discussions we've had about looking at sort of the newest of the technology, I assume that we had a dead end. We're already too far on this to have accomplished any of that in terms of mobile phone technology and any of those sort of pass card systems that are seemingly out there now.
The newer systems are, as my understanding, are in test modes in just the largest cities in the country. There's maybe half a dozen at the most that are being tested. I believe the system will allow for migration to that, but it's probably a couple of years down the road. And the reason I say it would allow for migration is it's basically an electronic card reader, which would have a similar communication to these contactless credit cards, smartphones. And then it's just a matter of the software that drives that reader and having a system that functions in the way these new systems are designing. So each fare box is a computer. Each fare box has a smart card reader. We can reload programs on those fare boxes through Wi-Fi in the garages. It likely would be an expensive transition to move to an open fare payment system, as we're seeing with these test cases. But it's a transition that would not be impossible given the structure that we're putting in place. It would be feasible.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had some questions around, one, I don't see any proposed fare amounts with the different kinds of passes or costs. Is there any reason why that wasn't included?
The purpose of this report, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, was simply to discuss the various fare forms that we are contemplating moving forward with, and so that you were informed as to what the plan was, and so that you were comfortable with us going forward. With respect to the fares, that would have to be determined at a later date. I don't anticipate that the fares will change from what they are at this point, unless that is determined, obviously, by this policy-making body. and a determination will ultimately have to be made as to what will be the fare for the all-day pass. The system will have the capability where we can make that adjustment, you know, whether the pass is $3, $4, or $5. We can have the ability to make those changes at any time.
One more question, Mr. Chair. So individuals who pay cash under the single trip ride portion of this report, how much are they? It mentions smart card discounted one-way single trips. What are people that are paying cash on the bus paying for a single trip under this proposal?
Today, a single trip is equivalent to using a ticket on the bus, and the value of a ticket is $1.75.
Okay. And so would that be $1.75, a person that pays cash on one bus, let's say they need to take two buses, right? So they pay $1.75 on one bus. And they transfer. They don't have a paper transfer, but they get on another bus after that, and they pay another $1.75. Is that correct?
That would be correct, Supervisor. If an individual chooses to use cash as their form of payment, that is why we have provided an alternative for customers with this system, which would be the all-day pass, or the ability to simply have a smart card where a transfer will be embedded on the smart card, and once the fare box deducts that cash fare, then they will be able to transfer multiple times for the time period allotted on our current system, which is about 1 hour 20 minutes.
And one more question, Mr. Chair. We don't have a day pass price now. So what would be the proposed day pass price under this proposal?
Well, we have not made that determination at this point, and that would need to come back before this committee.
There's been no talk to, I guess, try to find a range of where that would be? Yeah?
Yes, we certainly have considered that. I would estimate that the range would be from $3.50 to $4.50. I can tell you, as I believe we mentioned a couple of cycles ago, that the typical price that that transit systems across the nation is charging for an all-day pass ranges from twice the fixed route, the adult cash fare, to 2.5 times. Mm-hmm. And so if that were the case, just based on our $2.25 adult cash fare today, that would mean that the all-day pass could be as high as $4.50 to $5.25. But again, I think that's a determination, obviously, that that needs to be flushed out with this committee.
And then one more thing, Mr. Chair. If single trips are then at $1.75, does that mean that the cost of paratransit would be $3.50? Double that? $1.75? Would the $4 per ride for paratransit drop down to $3.50 under that proposal?
Let me try to explain that this way, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. Currently, under federal rules, the fare for a paratransit cannot exceed twice the fixed route fare. But the fixed route fare today for an adult fare is $2.25. So we could, in fact, charge $4.50 for a paratransit fare. However, as a matter of policy, this governing body has determined that the paratransit fare at this point will be $4. So again, in terms of what the fare structure may be a year from now, is something that would need to come before this governing body to ultimately make that determination.
Right, and I'm just following up, Mr. Chair. Sorry for all these questions. But under this proposal, $175 for a single trip would be, I guess, the government's rate saying that we can't charge more than double $175, right, for paratransit, so that our $4 price now would have to come down under your proposal, right?
Okay, let me just clarify that to Supervisor. The $175 that you're referring to is the price of a ticket, and that's mm-hmm. that's a discounted fare. The basis for the Federal Transit Administration policy with respect to no more than twice the fixed route fare mm-hmm. is on the basis of the adult cash fare, which is $2.25.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? If not, I have a couple of speakers. Al Simone.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, good morning, and thanks once again for having us here. We have some concerns with this whole project. One thing is the public input. I don't believe there was any public input on this project at all, let alone when we came to you a while back and asked for the transit operators and the transit advocates' input. There wasn't a lot of that accepted also. It was a good point brought up that, you know, we need to have that input from our riders. The other thing is that we have a concern is that there, the discussion on the paper transfers. Now, MTS was told to get rid of the paper transfers. With this proposal, there is the paper transfers are still included. What they're calling them on the August 16th memo, they're changing the name to paper slips. Now, you can change the name of it, but it's still a transfer. And this is the problem that, you know, that we brought to you last time with our operators' concerns of their safety, the safety of our passengers, the misuse, the loss of money, the loss of revenue that Milwaukee County sees every on a daily basis with the misuse. The paper transfers are still being misused out there. I get reports every day from our operators continuously. They're being passed back and forth. They're short. And when you talk about driver interaction with our passengers, our operators are putting themselves at risk by having interaction, by questioning anything to do with the fares or with the paper transfer. So the paper transfers have to go. There's nothing in this report about eliminating them, not until, 2 years down the road, and that's even going to be longer, because even in the report it says that once the fare boxes are up and running, they're still going to be able to use or receive a paper slip. And again, they changed the name, but it's still the same thing. And I don't see any progress made in that area at all. So those are our concerns. Again, it's the safety of our operators, the safety of our passengers, you know, the loss of revenue for this system. We need to make some changes on the fare structure, and we need to do it now and not wait for 2 more years down the road.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. James Makem.
Thank you, everyone. By looking at y'all faces and everybody back there, do y'all actually know what this company bought? I don't even think they know what they bought. Everybody's face up here when Lloyd Graham was talking, everybody was looking like this because he's talking Spanish. Every question that you ask him, he has no answers to. That's ridiculous. If we plan on going to a new system, it should be some answers. And y'all accept this crap. I said that before. Y'all keep accepting crap all the time. You know, how many times have this been asked how much stuff going to cost? You're supposed to be putting something into a system. You don't know how much it costs? That's ridiculous, and y'all accepting this. Thank you.
All right. So, about McCoskey?
Well, I feel, Mr. Chairman, I feel compelled to sort of respond. One is that I think at the next meeting, if I understood it correctly, we are going to have the company here that is doing this, and I'm expecting it to be kind of a show and tell as far as we're just going to see this, we're going to be able to operate this, we're going to be able to touch this. So, you know, while I don't have anything tangible in front of me right now, Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming that at our next meeting, as you announced prior to this, that's what we're going to have. So that's one point. The other point is that when did the two-year point come in as far as these transfers? At our last meeting, it was talked about that we would have to, at the latest, go till the end of 2013 before the elimination of paper transfers. Now I hear the gentleman say 2 years, and I've not heard 2 years. I'm not even accepting the full 2013, but I'll be darned if I'm going to accept two more years. And so I guess I'd like to know where the 2 year thing came from.
Mr. Macon, you made the statement. Can you come back and say you said 2 years? Can you correct and say why you said 2 years? I think you're using this year and next year as 2 years, but I can't put words in your mouth because I don't want to get crap.
I remember saying 2 years, but the whole thing about it, for what we was told the last thing, did not come in here in this budget this year. The budget was October. So was I wrong when y'all told them to don't bring anything for transfer into this budget? So that was something y'all said. Was I wrong? So we still talking about transfers. And this is a new budget. So the answer should be coming from y'all, because y'all the one gave it a direction. And that's what the understanding that everybody was in that meeting, that they was not supposed to come to this meeting in this budget talking about transfers. And I don't care, you know, a duck is a duck. If it quacks, it's still. You know, changing the name is changing the name. I don't care. It's still transfers. So do y'all know when they're supposed to get them out? Because for what I got out of it, nobody knows when they're supposed to get rid of it. I'm glad y'all actually supposed to have somebody that knows what they're talking about. Because right now, I'm still lost. I don't know what the company's trying to do. And I don't think y'all do, because y'all was basically looking like y'all was stunned when he was talking. I was looking around the room. That's one thing the Marine Corps taught me how to do, is look at people and react how they react. Nobody in here knows what they're talking about, including the company, and they bought these machines. They even had somebody, they paid big money to go get the machines. Everybody in the country has got away from these transfers, except us. And it's ridiculous that we so behind. So behind. We cannot advance if we stick into the 1900s. And just like the county supervisor said before, we bought a machine that we're going to have to buy new machines again because they're going to be outdated. So I don't know when we're supposed to get rid of transfers. Do they know or do you know? Somebody tell me. Then I know. Thank you.
Again, he didn't answer the question. You have another question?
Because nobody gave an answer.
You didn't ask the question. Any other questions?
We were told at our last committee meeting of this committee at the airport.
Correct.
That the end of 2013 will be the witching hour. We will all turn into pumpkins if we don't have the no transfers. Okay? So I don't understand where 2 years is coming from. And I also said at the last meeting that I'm not going to tolerate another year. Okay? So I'm saying that there's got to be a sense of urgency to accelerate so that it's not the end of 2013 that we go paperless, that it's way before that. But to say 2 years is, as far as I'm concerned, that's gibberish, and I'm not going to accept it.
Okay. Jersey, then I'll come to you.
Okay. I've already stated that I will not vote for the transit budget if it includes paper transfers. That was a statement I made when we heard this in front of the Finance Committee.
Correct.
And I understand we are trying to move away from the paper transfers, but if the budget includes transfers, I'm not voting for it. I have one really simple question. How much do paid fares make up in terms of the overall budget? What percentage of the overall budget represents paid fares?
Mr. Graham, Mr. Bowen. Bain, can y'all come back up to the table? Mr. Bain, you're a finance person.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the revenue collected from fares represents about 31% of the overall budget.
Because I look at all the work that's going into consulting, that's going into the employees you have on staff, that's going to go into computers. I almost wonder if we couldn't find 31% of savings by getting rid of all of that and just giving free rides. People get on and off the bus, end of story, end of all this nonsense. And sometimes we need to think in the big picture. Thank you.
Supervisor Washington, I don't want to come back. If I will come back on that one, but let's go. Supervisor, I'm the chair. Keep the meeting going. Let's go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To finish up on item one, we do have a resolution before us. I believe we had quite a bit of discussion, and I'll move approval of item number one.
We have a motion to move approval. Any other comments or questions? If not, Madam Chair, will you please, Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Wyshon?
Aye.
Borkowski?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Mr. Grant, thank you for bringing that bus with the shields. And I forgot to ask Mr. Simone, you do agree with the shields on that bus, correct?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. Our committee has looked at that shield time here. We've been in the process of coming up with the best shield possible. And this is the one that we think will suit the needs of our operators and for their safety, and again, for the safety of our passengers also.
Thank you very much. Mr. Grant, I asked you in the Finance Committee to bring back reports of incidents with transfers. And I know that it was on Monday, and it's still, I need a written report still for December 5th and also the other reports that I asked for.
I will put that together, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. We are